would you like to introduce yourself?
Well, I'm June Holland. I was born in Heybridge in 1935.
Okay, thank you. And
I am Trevor Mathams. I'm 85. I was born in Colchester Road, which is now Oak Road, Heybridge. And that's it.
And I'm Anne Mathams, Trevor's wife, and I was born in Fitcher's Crescent in 1940. And June is my sister-in-law.
Lovely. June, would you like to talk a little bit more about where you were born, the house you were born in,
yes,
and the area?
I was born in Heybridge Square, number 11, which is one of a terrace of four houses. It's the largest one of the four in the terrace. Mm-hmm. Had three bedrooms. We had a 28-foot long kitchen. Wow. It took 1,700 tiles to tile the floor, and my dad did the floor. That's incredible for a cottage, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
Run along the whole back.
Yes.
Lived here all my life.
Do you know anything about the history of the cottage?
I don't really. They belonged to my grandfather before my father.
Right.
He had them. We have a receipt, which was for 300 and something odd, I forget what it is exactly, as part of the payment. But what the full payment was, we have no idea. We just found this receipt amongst Dad's when he died. And that was obviously when his father bought them. Yeah. Who was Joshua Freeman, and he owned the Half Moon, which was the pub opposite.
So the Half Moon then became the Bembridge Hotel?
No, that was what was the Bembridge Hotel. Yeah. Belonged to Bentalls, didn't it?
Yeah.
Belonged to Bentalls.
So where was the Half Moon?
Was the pub.
Next door.
Next door. Is that an Indian?
Okay.
And the Indian Bembridge, yeah. Or what? It's not the Bembridge there, it's La Bouchon or whatever you like to call it. That, when I remember it, it was the apprentices. It was a hostel for Bentall's apprentices.
Oh.
Then it was officers.
Yeah.
When I was expecting Bob, which would be, 64 years ago now, it was officers. And then after that, I think the Bembridge... The hotel took it over, didn't they?
Yeah.
But it was a hostel. I can remember the...
I remember that.
Yeah, yes. The apprentices and that sort of thing being there.
And Trevor, where did you begin life?
I was born in, like I say, 38 Colchester Road, which is now 10 Oak Road. It was a three-bedroom council house. And it was quite a very big garden, which... Unfortunately, my dad was in the forces at the time, and my mum used to work full-time at Bentall's. And so we was very restricted what we could do, and we used to get up and get ourselves off to school, which we had to walk down the road and get the bus to go to Malden School, and that's it. And there was virtually nothing much to do, except just wander around like we always used to.
We went to school in Heybridge till we were 11.
Yes, we went to school in Heybridge.
And that was the building opposite Asda's. Was where we went.
In that school then there?
Till we were 11.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. I remember the headmaster and the teachers. Miss Grimmer, Mr. Gibbons was the headmaster.
There's a picture of him in here.
Oh, is
there? Gibbons,
And what did your mother do at Bentall's?
Oh, I don't really know. She just, I think your mother worked there as well, did she? Or she Crittles?
No, my mum worked at Crittles.
Yeah, my mum worked at Crittles afterwards with her down there, yeah. And then she became a cook in Hayward School, yeah.
So the three big employers at the time...
Mm-hmm. was John Sadden Sons, Bentall's, E.H. Bentall's, who incidentally made the first motor car, mm-hmm. as you probably know, and also there was Crittles, which then made windows down there.
Then it was Everready's after that.
No, that was when I was young.
That was later went to Everready's.
Much later.
Yeah.
Did go to Everready's.
Okay, Anne.
My name's Anne Mathams. I was born at 6 Fitcher's Crescent, 1940. My mother was a local person. She lived down North, born in North Street. Her mother was a local girl, and so was her grandmother. And for years, we've always been, Malden people. I lived in a council house. where the prom was my playground, mm-hmm. as everybody else's, yeah. and the roads and the streets. I can remember playing whip and top in Mill Road. Yeah. And then if a car came, which was very unusual, you just jumped on the pavement and left it. Yeah,
and of course, swam in the prom lake, in the lake.
Oh, God, you'd learned to swim there. Yeah. Oh, most children did, local children, always learned to swim in this. Mind you, I nearly drowned in it, and so did lots of others, but you soon learned to swim.
Any particular it wasn't healthy and all this, and we said, well, we all learned to swim in it. We're still here, aren't we?
Exactly. Any particular sort of stories of childhood that you can remember? Well, things you got up to?
Well, in a little road over there, there was a dead end, of course.
Which road was this?
Oak Road now.
Oak Road, yeah.
It was a dead end. And there's quite a few families with large families in that road, and we all just played cricket and football and play all our games in the road. I remember, I don't know what year, don't ask me, but there was one family, he actually bought a car, and we used to wait down the bottom of the road for him to come home, and he used to give us a ride just up the road, and that's only what I picked. Couple of 300 yards, if that, and we used to call it rhubarb and custard because that was the colour of it. And his name was Bob Jarvis. Yeah.
So that was quite unusual.
It's the only car we ever saw in Hobie's around there.
Well,
much.
Nobody had telephones.
Nor a telephone.
I mean, because my granddad, he died before I was born, but had the pub. Dad's sister was 15 years older than him, and his mum died when he was 5, and his sister was 15. So she brought him up with the dad, with her
father.
You know, father being there. And they had a telephone because he ran the pub. But anybody wanted a phone, the only place you could use a phone was over there. And he had a phone.
I will say, next door to us lived an old gentleman. His name was Bramwhite, and he was the air raid precautions man in Heybridge. And just over the road here on the bottom of Stock Trace was a big concrete building, and that's where he used to have an office, I suppose. And he's going there, he used to come round at night and shoot at you, pull the blinds down put the lights out.
ARP.
Air raid precautions.
What was his name again?
I can't remember his first name, but it was Bramwhite.
Bramwhite with his surname.
He's Bramwhite,
And Trevor, you were talking about street lights in Heybridge when you were young.
Yeah, well, the only ones I can remember was one at the corner of Scraley Road and Broughton Green Road. There was one in our road, which I say was Colchester Road, but that's now Oak Road, and there was also one in Wood Road. And a fellow used to come from Alden and used to light them at evenings. I don't know what time he'd come, but he used to come round on his bike, I suppose, and he used to light them, yeah.
So there were just three?
That's all I can remember, three up this end of Heybridge, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably with some along the causeway, probably.
Well, there's all trees along the causeway.
There was trees
all the way along the causeway.
Yeah, but not the other side.
Not the other side, no, but there's only just a few houses along there.
No, because I walked home at night from there. If we went to a dance in Malden or anything,
You didn't feel unsafe, did you?
I mean, there's lots of little things I can remember, like Murray Mansfield used to come running up our road with a little barrow to deliver the bread from Sisson's from Hall Road. And also, I can't remember this bloke's name, he had a horse and cart, used to come up with a milk churn, used to ladle the milk.
Lappage used to do it.
Yeah, this from Wakelands. What was his? I can't remember. He lived up over here,
Border
Barn, Barfield Cottages. Can't remember his name, but he used to go there and used to ladle the milk into a jug.
Used to have half a language and he used to wear his cap back, he always wore the peak in the back.
Yeah.
And he had a lady, he took a jug.
Well, I'm a bit younger than you, only 7 years, but that was in bottles when I was.
But then there used to be.
Then they used to come from Taylor's, the bakehouse.
Yeah.
Mum used to come with a big basket covered with a cloth.
Was that every day?
Then there was Alec Lane from the Basin. He used to come up with his big old lorry of green groceries and come round the house and bring the stuff for the houses. And my brother started to work for him when he's
got a part-time job. And where the room is now and where the car park is were shops.
Where was that?
Where the wearing room and the car park On a roundabout. Yeah,
in the street.
Where the, yeah.
There was a hall there that was called the wearing room. That,
still
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it was still there. Okay. But where the wearing room car park is was a row of shops, wasn't it, Trevor?
Yeah. And on the Weybridge there was some Chinese the Barbers.
Yeah.
And just over the Weybridge you go in the hall road there was Taylor. He used to have a little shoe shop in there. There was a shoe shop and there's a barber shop down over the road with a fish and chip shop, Oily Geimer's.
Yeah.
Opposite the post office which Mitchell's run.
Yeah, then the post office was that big building
next to Bullock's coal yard. There was a coal yard.
Yes, there was.
Where the car park to the fish shop, fish and chip shop, is that was
oily,
oily.
And there was another coal yard in the square.
Yeah. Yeah,
where the roundabout is.
Yeah,
there was a coal yard. Where we are now is where the old towers. Mm. Bentall's.
This is this is Bentall's house.
You remember a bit about the grounds, don't you?
Yes, I mean,
Trevor.
In here there was, well, I suppose there was long, big piers, I don't know what I call them, big round piers, and it was underneath, there's a tunnel, used to go right round a lake, all the way round here. It was down this side, full of fish, remember that? And that was all swarmed with trees and a lot of greenhouses up there, remember that? And on that wall, as I said over there, that, I don't know if that sign is still there, there's a big round ring with a red flash in it, and that's got a, we don't want to go home because the Italian prisoners were in here.
They were in the towers.
In the towers, yeah. They were stationed in here, yeah.
Were they?
Yeah. And they used to lean over the wall and look over there and they could see all us kids playing, yeah.
So as children, you just jumped over the wall and you were playing?
We climbed up the telegraph pole, up the stay wire up there and got over the wall and came in here, yeah. We all used to, all the kids used to come in here and play,
Do you remember much about the actual building
itself? Well, yes, I do, because that was a big entrance hall. That was all stone concrete or slabs, I think.
I think it was concrete.
And there's a big dome on the top, and it had a glass floor apparently at the top. And apparently, so the rumour goes, is one of the prisoners fell through this glass floor to the bottom. And whether he died or not, I don't know. But there was always a rumour he did. But this was, I mean, I can't remember the dates for sure. But
whether it was true or not.
But then they made it into flats. But a lot of people wouldn't live there because they said that was haunted. But whether that's true or not,
I don't know. They were terrible cold.
And they're cold,
High ceilings, no fireplaces, of course, was there? No heating, all they had was electric heating. Yeah.
And then it was pulled down eventually, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, yeah, but the gatehouse was still there and the bungalow was still there, and that was
the lodge house.
Butcher used to be the great, used to look after the grounds,
We had, they had to dynamite it, and they were going to do it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it had to be altered because the children were coming out of school, I remember that.
I know you were, all of you, very young at the time, but do you remember much about wartime here in Malden and Heybridge?
I remember a little bit about
older
it,
than
yeah.
me, so they remember more than
I remember a little bit about
any
it.
Any particular memories of wartime?
Well, like I say, there was a searchlight in the field next to us, and right over in the far corner was an AK-AK gun. I can remember that. And also I remember watching the planes coming over and seeing the doodlebugs come over and all that. And also watching the planes go on D-Day and all that.
You said still they the back had cut. Blocks there, didn't they, at the bottom?
Oh, no, that was up right up the corner near Broadstreet Green. There's four concrete blocks. I suppose they were about, I don't know, 5 foot square and about 5 foot high. And there was four of them with just enough gap to walk through. There was one there, then there was the road, then there was two like that the other side. But you don't remember them, June, do you?
I don't remember them, no.
So what were they for?
Well, we think, there was, and we, I believe, I mean, somebody might else confirm this, but in the road, they'd got holes in the road which they could put dynamite in, like a tank trap.
Yes.
If that's what, I think that's what they were. I mean, I was only young, so I can't really remember.
Well, it says in this book about the holes, if you go under the bridge on a boat, which we did, didn't we, a few Saturdays ago, all those holes in there were made to, so they could blow those bridges
up if they had
it
to.
It says that in there,
June, do you remember anything about wartime?
I can remember a bit because my dad was in the fire service.
You're right, yeah.
So he was away often at night, and so there was just Mum and I, and we had a, now which were the shelters I would get me in the mud? One that you crawl into, the
Anderson.
Is that the Anderson one? I was getting Morrison and Anderson in a mug.
Morrison and Anderson.
Yeah, well, the one that had like a tabletop.
Yeah, we had one of those.
Because we had this huge kitchen. It was like a cage, weren't they? Yeah, just like a cage.
Steel top and just mesh
inside. And we used to sleep in it at night. In the kitchen. Prior to that, we had to go to the air raid shelter, which was in what was last yard.
Yeah.
Where our toilet, because we had to go right down the garden to the toilet in those days. We had no main sewerage. We had to go right down there and into what, as I said, what was last builder's yard. Well, it was opposite where Bruce had the workshop, wasn't it? So that was where the air raid shelter was. And I can remember Mum running down with me with the searchlights and the siren going, and I'm saying, I've lost my shoe. And she said, well, don't worry about your shoe, you know. Because I would have been... I was born in 35, so I was 4 when the war started. I was 10 when it ended. So I can remember.
So you were at school?
My dad, no phones, of course.
No.
My dad used to come home and Mum would be in bed and she would sort of more or less miss him. They would miss him. And he used to leave notes, because you couldn't phone them up, could you? He'd leave a note and say, I hope you're all right. The bombing was bad last night. He was down at Shellhaven, in the where all the oil fires were.
Okay.
He was away all night, you know. They just used to have a mobile canteen go round.
Talking about your home, your house, you mentioned earlier about doing breakfasts for the Bentalls.
Yeah, well, remember that, of course. I only know what my mum had told me, but the white collar workers used to go over and they used to do breakfast for them.
In that house where you were?
In the one where we were,
with the large kitchen?
No, that was my mum's that had the large kitchen. Ours was the one next door.
Okay, okay.
Hers was the largest, where I was brought up was the largest one. And then ours was the next largest one. And then there was two.
When you were married,
you had the one next
you moved door, next door.
Yeah, well, right. After a year, we had a caravan round where Trevor said, because there was an isolation hospital, you knew that, of course.
My dad was in there.
Yeah. So we had a caravan after the hospital was there. We had a caravan for a year when we first married. And then when I was expecting my oldest son, these cottages were given by his dad to my dad. And the old boy, I think the old lady died and the old boy went to live with the daughter. And then Dad said, well, if I do, because you know what they were like. I mean, old fireplace with the tapestry all round the top. You remember it, don't you, Anne? We had about 10 layers of wallpaper on the wall. And then when you got all the paper off, the plaster fell down, you know. And I mean, it took us months to get it. You know how they had it.
They were all the same.
It was all dark brown paint, wasn't it? Old rusty kitchener with a curtain, behind a curtain in the kitchen, beams.
So the previous owners, every morning, did breakfast for some of the Bentalls workers.
Yeah. And there used to be a man on the gate, didn't there, Trevor? Yeah. With a white coat.
Another thing about Bentalls over there was they used to blow a siren every morning at 7:40 to get you ready to go to work, and also at 8:00 when I was ready to start.
Yeah.
And at 8:00, they used to shut the gate, so if you was late, you had to stay outside until they let you in.
Yeah. And they knew you were late.
Yeah.
Trevor, tell us a little bit about the history of the Swifts football team.
I've watched Hobie Swifts ever since I can remember. And my dad was on the committee, and we used to go down there, used to walk into Wakeland's Farm, and then in the gate there, because Wakeland's Farm was just there, and the pitch was by the side of it. The team used to change in Highbury School, walk across the road, and they had a hole in the wall, because they had to climb over this 6-foot wall, and over the wall, just as they got over the other side, there was two pitches where they used to play quoits, and then onto the pitch, and then there was a shed, called a pavilion, I suppose, down there, where they used to change when the cricketers used to play, because the cricketers played there as well, and they put a coconut mat down on the football pitch to play cricket. In actual fact, I played quite a few games for Bentalls, because I used to go down there and watch when I was a youngster, and if I was always short, I used to do the score for them, or if I hadn't got enough, I used to play. Then eventually that hut went, and they built another one, which the Swifts used to change in, they come out of the school and used to change in there. Then that went, and then they built this, which is the hospice one, down there now. And then Highbridge moved there, they Bentalls chucked them off.
Yeah.
and they went to play at Sads Football Ground for a season. And then they built a new one up Scraley Road, which are on now, and I still go up there and watch them. I was up there last Saturday.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So you were saying earlier that the pitch, the field, was where Asda's now is.
That's right, yeah. And there's a canal down that side, and at the far end, right over into the Bendall's Foundry, but between the Habishwas pitch and that, there was this canal bit along the back there, and down the side there was a stream that came down to a big pond right by the side of Wakeland's house, farmhouse, and it goes under the road, and the stream goes by Habish School, I don't know where it goes.
No,
it was all surrounded by water, and hazard that one day the referee got chucked in there because he didn't give a fair result for Habish. That's a well-known thing, yeah. And also, they all at one time they used to hold their committees in the Half Moon.
That's all we called it.
Oh, is it? And then they used to go into the Wave. Well, my dad, when he came out of the army, used to go to the Wave for a drink, and I used to sit outside and have a bag of
crisps.
Yeah, used to watch football from there. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And any early stories?
Well, I was not really, because I was born 1940, so I was only five when it finished,
exactly,
you know, so
exactly.
I can only remember standing on the step and watching all the aeroplanes going over when it was D-Day, but apart from that, I can't remember the war.
So as a child, for you, you were just enjoying the prom park and the freedom and friends?
Yes, the freedom.
And the big parties we had at the end.
Yes, and we had parties. I remember going to, I must have had a Sads party, because my dad worked at Sads, and I think they must have had a party. They had one every year at Christmas time, and all the children of the workers went. My brother had to take me and shove me up there every clear off inside when I got indoors in the party. But, I do remember that, but not the actual war, because I was too young to remember that.
So, June, did you work after leaving school?
Yes,
What was your job?
I worked in Moulton. I was apprentice hairdressing.
Yeah. And when you were married, you stopped working, I expect, as most people did.
Well, for a time, yes. I had Robert, didn't I, within about a year. And then I went back part-time. I used to go 3 evenings a week, Saturday mornings, that sort of thing. My mum lived next door, so that was very convenient for the babysitter.
Very handy, yeah.
And he was 6 before I had Paul, so I had the time. So, yes, and the hairdressers I worked for, the chap I worked for, had a salon over the Swan pub.
Oh, right.
That's where I used to go.
When
I first started, when I was apprenticed, yeah.
The Swan in the High Street?
The Swan in the High Street. Used to be a door, used to be some stairs up. I don't know if you still do, up the front.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. There was a salon at the front and one at the back.
What was the High Street like when you were a youngster? What differences? I suppose the fact that you knew most people made a difference, didn't it?
We always had a dance on them.
Every Saturday night.
Always a dance.
Because when I was a teenager, every Saturday they used to go to a local village, where it be Cold Norton, Wickham Bishops, wherever, and they used to choose Burnham all round, and they chose a girl to represent that village to be somebody to be crowned as the.
Then all the ones that I was Miss Haybridge in 1953, I think it was. Then you all went in a grand final, which was up in Maldon. And the one with the most points was the Queen, and then the two attendants. I was one of the attendants. Well, I think I got 9 points, and she got 9.5, and she took away with a burst appendix.
Oh dear!
On the Saturday night before the carnival started on the Sunday. And they came down to us, and I remember Hills's, that must have been Saturday afternoon, and they always had a crowning ceremony on the Sunday,
on the prom. Yeah,
it was
a big thing, the carnival.
Oh yes.
And they said, would I, and I said, oh, God, I've got nothing to wear, you know. I mean, remember, clothes were still rationed, only just probably come off of rationing, because the war hadn't been over that long. And then Hills's sold clothes then, and I went over there and managed to get something to wear for the But after that, fortunately, the girl that was took ill, her dress fitted me because we were about the same size. But after that, we had the dresses that were made for the carnival. But just for the Sunday, I needed something. And I can remember going over to Hills on a Saturday afternoon and finding a dress to wear.
And where was Hills?
Hills was where it is now.
Okay.
In the square. Yeah, okay. They do furniture, don't they? But they used to do clothes.
Yes, they did for a long time.
And then the big shop, I don't think there's anything in there. He said that was like in Smith's. So I used to have my groceries there when I first married.
You mentioned a dance every Saturday night. Yes, where was that held?
They have all the one in Cambridge.
Every week I worked. Out. Don't ask me how we got there, but somebody
no, in the I car, don't know how
we all got in.
I know how you got home.
They had a car, him and his mates. There were six of them. They paid £1.50 each. That was £10, this car.
Hudson Terrapin, big American car.
And God knows how many of us got in it. But you didn't leave anybody behind. And when you got out, you could hardly move because you were so squashed up.
Yeah.
But they used to run a bill up at one garage,
Holden's,
and then they'd pay that off. While they were paying that off, they'd go to Hunter's and run one up there. So it was like, because we hadn't got any money, you can imagine, no money at all, very little.
Well, I got £1 a week when I started work. Yeah. I stopped 2 and 4 pence for my stamp, so I got 17 shillings and 8 pence. And after 3 years apprenticeship, I got £2.05.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, yeah.
And you tell the youngsters today, and they look at you as though you're from another planet.
I could tell them.
Can we all, Trevor?
Yeah.
Trevor, you worked at SADS, I think you said.
When I left school, I got an apprenticeship at Doe's Olting, where Bruce used to work, and it's up at 7 till 6. And I got £1.01 for the first week. That was my wages.
11 hours a day?
Yeah, and I worked there, and I forget, it wasn't long. And then my mates who was working there, they was getting more money than me, and it's down at SADS. So I went to SADS and got a job and worked in one of the mills down there, which is £3 a week.
So what a big, what a big difference. Then
after a little, I worked there till 1966. I went into the army, 2 years in the army in between. Okay. You know, and then I got through there and I used to drive a crane down there and everything like that. And then one day I had a row with a foreman and he said I wasn't on the job when I was having my breakfast and everybody was sitting. Anyway, we had a row and I told him I couldn't drive a crane himself. So I went to see the transport manager. He said, well, would you like to drive a lorry? And I said, yes. And then I drove a lorry for 12 years. Then.
Did you?
No, yeah, nearly 12 years down there.
Yeah.
And then I saw a job advertised in the paper for Bradwell Power Station. They wanted fitters mates.
Oh, yeah.
So in the January I applied. I went down there a couple of weeks later and had an interview and they said they'd let me know. Well, I heard nothing until June the 6th, 1966. And that was the day I started at Bradwell. And I worked there until I retired. 33 years I was there.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I've got... like all sorts of course, they put me on scaffolding and everything like that, and I worked down there.
Building the power station.
Yeah, the power station.
No, that was
no,
built.
Running the power station.
It was running.
Running,
yeah, it was running.
Until I retired there, in '69.
And that was a good job then.
Oh, yeah. It was a job for life, you know. If you kept your nose clean, you were safe. You'd never
you
got the same.
Most jobs, yeah. Weren't
lots of jobs you were then. Jobs
you
were for life.
That,
and not
yeah.
now, but they were.
And they were very good employers, I must admit.
Yeah.
Mind you, sales were good. Very good. I mean, they didn't ask you to do anything you didn't want to do, but I mean, I drove this lorry. I used to go in the mornings. I got all my paperwork, where I was going to go, and that's up to me what time I started and what time I finished. So that was, when you're finished, you're finished. No, it was very good. Yeah.
So you were delivering SADS timber?
Timber,
how
windows.
How far did you have to go for
the
deliveries?
Well, I mean, to start off with, I was sort of spare, and then I eventually got around to my home, which was, say, called Colchester. But I used to start in Heybridge, used to go Tiptree, Colchester, sometimes Clacton, perhaps King's Lynn, something like that, and then down to Mersey and Tollesbury, and then that was one big, so it depends where the orders were, where you had to go.
There was no,
you just had to go where the job was, you know. Yeah. I mean, I also used to go to London sometimes, they called it London, used to go to Hornchurch, didn't I? Could you come with me a couple of times, Hornchurch? But then I'd probably finish up in Brighton or Southampton or something like that. But I mean,
mine roads weren't so bad.
But, and I loved the job.
cracker job. They didn't have motorways. No. It was enjoyable.
I really liked that job. Of course, then I got married, the family come along and the mortgage, and so we needed more money.
Exactly.
And now I got the job at Bradwell and they doubled me wages, which very good.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
And what would you say, June, how do you feel Heybridge and this area is today to compared to when you were little?
Well, it was sort of, well, it, like we've said earlier on, everybody knew everybody, didn't they? I mean, you knew who lived in every house. Now, you don't even know who lives over the road. I don't even know the name of the people who live over the road and they've been there 3 years. It's not like it was.
No. But then you've got to remember also,
there was a closer
when you were community. Children, I don't know if your garden was the same, but we only had a...
We never had a garden,
wire,
did we?
We didn't have a garden, but so everybody could see each other. Now we put up fences, don't we? We all do it. I mean, I've done it, so privacy. But in those days, I mean, I can remember if it rained, somebody come out, Kath, that's my mum's name, Kath, it's raining, you know. And if they weren't in, they'd go and get it.
Exactly.
Somebody would
You've got people washing in, but there's nothing like, there's none of that now.
I know people don't put washing out, I mean, they dry a lot indoors, but it is how it was, and there was more help, wasn't there? I mean, my mum was raised by her grandmother, and she said, in those days, I mean, you had to pay for a doctor. And of course they couldn't afford it. So when they gave birth, that was very often a neighbour who used to go in and help deliver it, or if somebody was really ill and they were dying, they'd sit with them, all sorts, and that, I think there was better community.
Well, when we lived over in the cottages, we didn't have any garden, so the Planny and Stony Meadows was my garden. Stony Meadows is where all the Bovis homes are now. You used to go down by the canal, not this bridge, the Black Bridge, you know the Black Bridge where you go the whole way road? Down there, down the steps, down by the canal, they used to bring the cows up from the farm.
Every day, labrages used to
bring the cows, hold all the traffic up, go down the side of the canal there with the cows, and then you used to go over, the first field was called Stony Meadows, wasn't it? Then over there was the a stile over the railway line. Then there was another field, wasn't there? You could walk to the golf course across there, you know, Molten Golf Course. Or we used to come round the Planny because we didn't have a garden, so we had to...
Well, we had a garden, but you didn't play in it. You used to go outdoors.
Well, you were always outdoors. You used to take sandwiches and be gone all day. This is why it's sad today, isn't it, in a way?
Yeah.
And your school was
just over here,
Yes.
I think mine was at Once Road, you know, that little school there. Everybody went to local school.
Then we went to Malden when we were 11.
Well, I was in Malden, but we just moved over to the seniors when you were 11.
And what age did you leave school?
15.
Left on the Friday, started work on the Monday.
My brother left at 15. But the year before, left at 14, and he was so upset because he had to stay another year. But it was 14 until...
But as you say, everybody at that age went into a job.
That, I mean, just on the corner of Weybridge there, there used to be a paper shop. That was Woodcrafts at one time, then that was a firm called Mayhews. And a friend of mine said, would I like a job as a paper boy? And I was suddenly telling the boys the other night, I went there, they used to do this paper round, Haber Street, Hall Road, Haber Street, Crescent Road and Holloway Road, that was my round. And I got £6 a week for that. And then I did an evening paper round and I got 7 and 6 pence.
I was 15 then.
And then I used to get the papers off the train when they come in at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the evening papers, deliver them all round. And then what was left used to take the Watson's fish and chip shop. Good day.
That's how you had your fish and chips.
And like you say, in this area, I mean, all our friends used to go and watch Heybridge, of course. And we used to stand behind the goal and there was 12 of us. And I'm the only one left now. All the others are gone, It's really, you know. But as I say, that's not the friendship here. what there was. I don't think so. I'm sure.
I just think it's probably because people. You got also when we were young. See, there was nothing.
All local anyway.
No. There was nothing indoors to hold you in, because you. All right, you didn't have very many toys.
No television.
No, exactly. So you had to go out to find friendship, and that's what you did.
I was going to say, down Hall Road was a farm, which was Williams's farm, and then it became Brush's gravel pit. And that's why all the lakes are there now, because they took all the sand out, and that was Williams's farm. And the two boys, his name was Hayden, was well known for his escapade going around Haybridge headquarters on his motorbike on a dance night one night, do you remember?
I weren't there then.
No, I know, I wasn't there, but I heard about it. And then his younger brother, Cecil, I used to go to school with him, and I don't know where they are today, I ain't got a clue.
That may not be alive.
No, you see, everybody was local, everybody knew everybody.
Yeah.
Plus the fact that you got married, and you were here still. It's not like that now, is
it? No, I think it's just times, isn't it? I mean, children now, I've got to be honest, hardly come out of the bedroom because they're in there with all their electronic gear.
Exactly.
And even when they come to see you, they're sitting there like this. I think, goodness me.
Yeah, well, on the football field, just over which where Asda's is now, every year Highbury Swifts had a fete. And it was massive. Everything went on there. There used to be a sort of a badminton net up, and Wally Hedgecock used to walk up and down there with a top hat on, and he used to throw balls to try and knock his hat off and things like that.
I mean, they had beautiful.
Everything was happening. Bike up on a rope type of thing. Oh, fantastic, mate! Yeah. For a village,
it was massive, wasn't it? Really?
Yeah, one day a week.
Something to look forward to for us kids and all the people down there.
That was the difference, wasn't it? It was a village.
Yes.
And everybody contributed to it, you know.
Everybody knew it. Yeah. I mean, when they built the travels on about the where the sports. Whether you change your clothes for the football, that was all done with voluntary labour. Because my dad went and done the brickwork at the bottom. Then the chap who worked for him done a lot of the carpentry. Everybody gave their time to do. That don't happen today, does it?
Rarely.
Reg Mansfield and his wife run it for years, Joan.
Yeah.
That's hospice, He was looking after the elderly up there for a long while.
Spawn's buses.
You come from Toldsbury, and they used to run a double decker bus every evening about 10:30. You'd stop inside the pitch house, the embassy, and anybody who wanted to come to Highbridge or beyond got on that bus, and they got left nobody behind. They'd be standing on the stairs, upstairs, standing everywhere. And Joe used to hang on the centre rail of the bus and used to whistle. And he used to take the money. He couldn't give a ticket because there were so many people on the bus.
Joe and Jim, wasn't
it? And going down the high stand at the bottom of the town and round the, because then there was a temporary bridge at the bottom of the hill. And as that went round the corner, the back of the bus used to touch the ground with so many people on it. It used to go round. Never left anybody behind. Osborne. Yeah.
So what happened to Osborne's buses then?
I think they got took over by Heading.
Yeah, they were a family, weren't they?
Yeah, family.
Because my mum was born in Toldsbury.
Mm. Both all the boys drove the buses. Osborne's boys drove them. Because in our days when we got a bit more affluent, my mate who lives in Australia now used to get a kosher lap. We used to go to Southend. And we used to get Osborne's bus. He used to take us. Well, we used to get on there, us boys, and give a driver a couple of bob and go anywhere we want, do anything we wanted to.
And I'll tell you what, if you were walking along the road between bus stops, it would stop for you. Because they knew you. Everybody knew everybody.
Yeah, but there was not the traffic either. No. They could stop and do that because there was no traffic
We used to get the national bus to go to school. It cost us a penny halfpenny from here to
Twinkle Toes. Highbridge Cathedral.
Long Tom.
Well, I was going to say about Twinkle Toes. We was on the bus one day going to school. Well, when they got to the causeway, the gates were shut to let the train go like that. Well, the bloke who used to open the gate had to be right up in the hut. He used to walk along and then up the stairs up to the hut. Well, sometimes the conductor used to undo the gates for him. Well, on this particular day, we was going to school. Twinkle Toes was the conductor, and he went up and opened the gate. And when he's walked back, somebody rung the bell. Of course, the bus went. And he stopped there and he got, eventually got on a bus. He said, oh, don't know who that was. He said, but I'm going to take you all at the police station.
Because he's starting for a